Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Spanish football podcast. Hello, Sid.
Good morning, Phil.
Good afternoon. Oh, you did a very Spanish thing because we're recording before 2 o'clock. You refer to it as morning. It's still morning.
It still
in Spain.
Is morning until you've had your 3-hour lunch break and you get back at 5. Afternoon doesn't start till 5.
Correct. Although I guess 4 is yeah. I guess it's any time after lunch, right?
Basically, when you go back to work. Yes. Yeah, any time after you've gone back to work, it's the afternoon.
Well, we've very much been working all morning, so we'll just crack on.
We have.
Until we go off for a 3-hour lunch break. Ha! Here's what happened on match day 23. In La Liga EA Sports, there were lots of interesting games, Sydney. We were at one on Sunday evening together. Doesn't often happen.
Doesn't, does it? No, it was good, that.
We're at the Madrid derby at a closed Bernabeu. And I mean closed because they had the roof shut, which is an interesting dynamic. Anyway, this is what happened on match day 23. Friday night saw Athletic Club continue their storming, fantastic home form. They beat Mallorca by 4-0. The first 2 goals were scored by Yuri Berchiche, the left back. 2 brilliant goals. The first goal is really quite ridiculous, what he does. It's a sort of a back heel flick volley. I can't really quite describe it, but it's really quite extraordinary. Athletic flying high ahead of their Copa del Rey semi-final against Atletico Madrid. Then on Saturday, Valencia continued to inflict pain on Almeria, who are bottom of the table, winless and on course to be the worst team in La Liga history on just 6 points. Valencia beat them 2-1. Granada and Las Palmas played out a 1-1 draw. And Barcelona made it 2 wins out of 2 following Xavi Hernandez's decision to step down at the end of the season. They beat Alaves by 3-1. Vitor Roque scoring for the second game in a row, but also being sent off as well. Girona and Real Sociedad played out a really entertaining goalless draw at Montilivi. Then on Sunday, there was a somewhat less entertaining goalless draw between Villarreal and Cadiz. Celta won 3-0. At Osasuna, rather surprisingly. And Betis and Getafe played out a 1-1 draw. The same score as the Madrid derby. Brian Diaz giving Real Madrid the lead before Marcos Llorente equalised in the 94th minute. Monday night football is in Vallecas. It's Rayo against Sevilla. And I've just clocked, Sydney. I'm going there alone because you're not going to be there, are you? Oh, I thought I was going to see you.
I know. I'm so annoyed about this. So annoyed. I have to go to London today, and I was looking, really desperately struggling, sort of scrambling for a flight early enough tomorrow morning that would allow me to get to London in time and still go to Rayo Sevilla tonight, and it just wasn't possible, and I'm not pleased.
Well, no, neither am I, Sid, but you know, hopefully we'll see each other again soon. I think, you know,
I'm sure we will.
That's something, yeah. Something
to look forward to. At this point as well, because I think Sevilla's this is going to sound harsh on Sevilla fans. It's a fascinating basket case at the moment, Sevilla.
I don't think that's harsh at all. I think that's a very accurate description of the absolute clusterfuck that is Sevilla at the moment. Patreon, why not come and join us at patreon.com/TSFP. You get weekly Q&A podcasts. You get bonus podcasts every single week. You get our series TSFP Presents and Rincón Cultural. You get Al's occasional paper reviews, access to the fantastic La Liga loving community on the TSFP Discord. What's not to love? It's only around €4 a month, or you can sign up for annual membership and you get 10% off, guys. 10% off. patreon.com/TSFP. So we'll start with the Madrid derby then. Real Madrid 1, Atletico Madrid 1. A a result that's actually really quite good for the neutrals because it very much keeps alive the La Liga title race. Had Real Madrid won, they would have been 4 points clear ahead of the visits of Girona next weekend to the Bernabeu. If they'd beaten Girona, they would have been 7 points clear and it would have been looking very much like Real Madrid are going to win the league. As it is, still just 2 points between Real Madrid and Girona. We had already three Madrid derbies this season, one in the league, which Atletico Madrid won, and then one in the Super Cup, one in the Copa del Rey as well. They were all pretty entertaining matches, and this one was a little bit more low-key, Sid.
Yeah, it was, very definitely. And in fact, I quite like Diego Simeone's analysis of this.
He said it was post-game. A weird game.
He described it as a weird game, and he said it felt like Real Madrid were the better team, but we had the better chances. And I think that's probably broadly true, at least in the first half anyway. He said it had nowhere near the excitement and the kind of the dynamism of those recent games. I mean, he actually included the first league derby at the Metropolitano. I'm not sure I would include it if you're talking about really exciting games. I thought it was a game where Atletico played very well, but I don't think it was anywhere near as exciting as those two knockout games, which of course both went to extra time. And this one would have done had it not been for the fact that it was a league game as well. Mm-hmm. It tells you something about the level of these two teams. I must confess, my feeling going into the last couple of minutes of this was it's only 1-0, but Madrid are just too strong. And then, of course, they got caught. And they got caught for a handful of reasons. One of them, of course, is, I suppose, the injuries they've had at centre-back and the fact that the centre-back partnership was both a pretty small one and a slightly makeshift one. Although I think it would be a bit oversimplistic to point purely at that. I thought it was a good response from Atletico in the sense that they kept going for it, but they really should have been probably put out of sight beforehand. In particular, you would say that chance for Rodrigo, wouldn't you, when he slipped in the right-hand side of the penalty area. Then you have that wonderful run and shot just wide from Brahim just before they take Brahim off. And so the feeling going into those last few minutes was, yeah, it's not been a great derby, but it's a little bit like we were talking about with Real Madrid. I think last week, probably it was on the Q&A pod, or maybe it was on Thursday's pod, we were sort of saying, you look at Madrid and you don't think this is a really sparkling football team. This is a really brilliant side that does everything well and totally blows people out the water. But you do look at them and think, this is a side that does everything, if not perfectly, really well, that has lots of different ways of getting at you, that looks and feels like a team completely in control. Mm-hmm. And even when they're not playing brilliant football. And that's kind of how I felt last night. I just sort of looked at them and thought, that midfield, it's just kind of too good, really. Mm-hmm. Without needing to be at its very best last night. And I thought Toni Kroos played brilliantly again. I thought then you see the athleticism of Camavinga, Valverde and Bellingham. Obviously Kroos is the one that doesn't have that, but he has the technical quality. And also, I suppose, partly because Atletico didn't really have a fourth man in midfield because it's a 5-3-2. Now, I know part of the five joins a midfield, but it felt like they were outnumbered there. It felt like Real Madrid had control of that part of the pitch. Albeit Atletico then shifted to something closer to a 4-4-2. It still felt like Real Madrid had control of the middle of the pitch. Mm. And it was actually a little bit of a surprise and a little bit out of keeping with the game for Atletico to have eventually got the equaliser. But I do think Simeone's right when he talks about them having had two or three really good chances to have scored, because they did have.
They certainly did. And I think it possibly is worth us just dwelling on the fact that Real Madrid were playing with their fourth and sixth choice centre-backs in this game, with Nacho and Dani Carvajal playing as a centre-back. I mean, Dani Carvajal is a 5'8" right back, Sid, and he was playing a centre back, and actually did really quite well until maybe the 94th minute when him and Nacho were caught out for that goal.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bizarrely simple goal and a really, really badly defended goal. For what it's worth, at the risk of sounding like I've got a vendetta, for what it's worth, the person to point the finger at in that goal is Nacho, not Carvajal.
No,
Nacho does a very strange jump, doesn't he? He sort of, it's like he's not sure if he wants to risk going for it or not. And it was a very strange goal for Madrid to concede. Actually, Ancelotti himself said post-game, I can't remember the exact quote now, but it was words to the effect of, we had a small defence and we got caught in the air.
Yes.
Admittedly, it only really happened once, maybe twice, because there's that, I think, ooh, it's a Saul header that goes just wide, isn't there?
There's a Savic header that goes wide, I think.
Oh, the Savic, and there's a Savic one from the corner, yeah, at the far post, but there's also a Saul one that goes wide, so there's two then in the first half.
Doesn't Lunin make a very good save as well?
Yes, he does, doesn't he? And that's in the air too, yes, isn't it? Yeah, good point.
And didn't
yeah,
they score, yeah. score a goal from a ball in that was, you know, it was
which
offside.
Is also in the air. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's,
you know
it's,
what?
It's almost like
you're
Atletico.
Backing these up, Phil.
Yeah, it's almost like Atletico had isolated this and thought, hold on, they've got a small team. Small defence,
yeah.
Let's put balls into the box and cause problems.
I mean, for what it's worth, you know, Atletico are a team that will create goals against you when you've got a big defence. In fact, you look at the 3-1 earlier in the season in the league, and all of those goals are basically built the same way.
Yes.
Down one wing, finished on the other wing. I think it's down the left and finished on the right, isn't it, all of them? Or is it the other way around? Hang on. I'm trying to picture them now. Yeah, it's all... Is it? It's all down the left, finish on the right, isn't it? Or is it the other? Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is that they were looking for that space behind the sort of the more distant of the two central defenders and between him and the other fullback. This obviously has special circumstances. And Ancelotti was asked, you know, why didn't you buy a centre back? And we talked about this ourselves at the time, and we thought, well, I thought at least that they probably would if someone became available relatively cheap, the same as they'd done with the goalkeeper. But Ancelotti made a reasonable point, which is to say that, look, this is a one-off game.
Yeah.
Now, that's not quite true, because it's a one-off game to get Tchouaméni back, who's also not a central defender.
Yes.
And maybe a one-off game to get Rudiger back, assuming that he's fit in time for the Girona game that weekend, which he may or may not be, we'll see.
Hmm.
But yeah, they definitely paid for it.
Vinicius Jr. also not in the starting 11. He was initially, but then seemed to have hurt himself in the warm-up and retreated to the bench and didn't teach.
It was his neck, wasn't it? The curious thing about that, of course, is that that's why Brahim played. And he was the best player on the pitch from Real Madrid point of view. At least certainly the most exciting, maybe not the best, because as I say, I thought the midfield played really, really well.
It's from a Real Madrid perspective, I thought, you know, there's quite a few individuals that you could pick out and
yeah.
say had really good games. Brahim Diaz played really well. Toni Kroos played really well. Lucas Vazquez played really
well. Yes, he did. Very, very well. Yeah.
For Atletico, who could you pick out and said had a really good game?
Yeah, well, it's curious, isn't it? Because individually, I'm not sure. Because, for example, Rodrigo de Paul wasn't as influential as normal. I'm gonna rescue Griezmann from this a little bit. Now, I don't think this was okay. Griezmann's best performance at all, but I was very struck by something. He literally had not touched the ball in the first 7 minutes. The first time he touched the ball, he creates an absolutely glorious pass for a Morata chance. Actually, Morata probably should score. And I felt like the moments of quality that they produced invariably came from him. And so he did. I suppose you could possibly argue that once Memphis came on, he made things happen as well. He's involved in the goal. He wins a couple of corners with a couple of runs. So I think you could maybe point to Memphis as well. But you're right, individually, this is why, I mean, it goes back to what Simeone was saying. This is a really strange game that sort of doesn't make a huge amount of sense in terms of the final outcome. And yet, yes. Nor would you look at it and say, well, Real Madrid should have absolutely battered them. Now, for what it's worth, I think Real Madrid probably should have run out winning this. As I say, they had a couple of good chances. I think they've got at least one pretty good penalty shout as well. And so you sort of look at it and you think, well, the balance of it and the feeling of the way the game played out, yeah, Madrid probably should have won this. For what it's worth, you know, this isn't a bad result from Real Madrid's point of view. It doesn't open the title race entirely. It doesn't close it either, though, that's for sure.
No, it doesn't. So the fourth and probably final Madrid derby of the
season. No, I don't think so. I reckon they're going to meet each other in the Champions League. I reckon it's happening, Philip.
Well, let's see. Maybe we'll get a fifth Madrid derby of the season, a fifth and sixth Madrid derby of the season in the Champions League.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
For the moment, we'll put that fixture to one side and talk a bit about Girona 0, Real Sociedad 0. I mean, this felt like, I think Girona were really actually quite disappointed at the end of this game by a drawing 0-0 with a side who won their Champions League group, which obviously shows how far they've come. It was 0-0. It was actually a really exciting game. Plenty going on. It wasn't a boring 0-0 draw. But yeah, Girona dropping 2 points at home because they've been so strong at home, and they've got some big games coming up. Obviously, they're away to Real Madrid. I think they've got to go to Bilbao as well and take on Athletic. There's some really big games coming up for them. And these were 2 points dropped at home against a Real Sociedad side who had loads of players missing as well. So they were pretty happy with how their trip to Catalonia went out. But yeah, what did you make of this game?
Well, I mean, as you say, the players missing, they also had two get injured during this game, both Becker and Odriozola. The Odriozola one's horrible as well. You see the way his knee sort of pops inwards slightly as it bends in a way that it shouldn't. His knee sort of bends, I mean, to try...
No, it's okay. Don't go into... It's okay. Don't go into...
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah, I'm not going to.
Bad injury. Yeah,
a bad injury. It looks like a bad one. Let's hope that it's not as bad as it first appeared. I actually thought this, as you say, this was a really, really good game. It was really enjoyable. I thought both teams created sufficient chances to have won it. Both of them had goals disallowed. For what it's worth, the Girona goal disallowed, I think, is really dubious. And I think it's really dubious... as much as anything else, because of the conceptualization, as by the way, the drilling has started again outside my house. So if you can hear a horrible noise, apologies for that. It's very much the sound of Madrid. The reason I'm so dubious about this one being ruled out isn't
just
so much
explain,
the decision.
Just explain what happened.
Well, that's why, yeah, isn't so much the decision itself, as the conceptualization of it. Essentially, what happens is there's a long ball up the left wing. Savio is running after it. I think it's Savio anyway. He's offside.
Yes.
The move continues. 37 seconds passes between that pass and Girona eventually getting the ball back in the net, in which time Real Sociedad have headed clear two Girona crosses and even got hold of the ball, albeit very, very briefly, after a Girona attempt at a cross breaks down. So you have two headed clearances and you have one moment when two Real Sociedad players, one gets it, knocks it to the other, who loses it again. So, of course, then you get this argument as well, is this really still the same move? Is it the same attack? Is it still the same phase? And that's where the argument comes, because Real Sociedad did get possession back. And as I say, not only that, but cleared the ball a couple of times, which maybe doesn't count as them actually getting possession back. But on one occasion, I think they probably did. And my problem with this really isn't so much the decision itself, because actually, really and truly, the linesman should probably put the flag up straight away, because I think the original offside is... it's
pretty
tight,
clear.
But I think it's a relatively clear one because it's right in front of him. It's right in front of him. So in a way, and in a way, that's kind of part of the problem for me, is that this suggests that the existence of VAR causes a problem, because it discourages linesmen from putting their flags up and then brings it back for something that happened 30 seconds earlier when a whole load of the game has continued. And I don't know, I'm just very uneasy about that.
I'm with you. I think it's pretty ridiculous, to be honest. But there we go. At the end... did you hear the Girona fans were chanting, "Así, así, así gana el Madrid"?
Yeah. I mean, Madrid weren't even playing, but obviously you can understand
well,
why.
Because it's
Real Madrid that they're up against in the league, and they would have seen this as a decision designed... well, not designed, that's the wrong word. Well, actually, maybe they see it like this, much as I don't. A decision designed to derail their title chase and to help Real Madrid. I don't see it like that at all, but I mean, I'm sure that they will... one of the reasons, of course, for this is that a lot of Girona fans are Barcelona fans as well. Girona fans are going to hate me for having said that, but some Girona fans, certainly in terms of their natural inclination to be sympathetic towards one or the other, and in the case of some Girona fans, actually Barcelona fans who've taken to Girona as well. So maybe that helps to explain a little bit why that's the focus.
I just want to tell you guys... because obviously the majority of you listening to us don't live in Spain, and you're not necessarily consuming football in Spanish and through Spanish media. The discourse on referees in just, I mean, this season in a whole, but in the last few weeks, it just feels like it is relentless, and it has just gone up to a level that is becoming really quite unbearable. It is genuinely quite unbearable to listen to Spanish radio, to try and watch TV. It's too much. It's really, really difficult. And people say, "Oh, why don't you, you say you don't talk about the referees." I think it's partly in a reaction to what we're experiencing, certainly for me anyway, what we're experiencing here in Spain. It's just, it's too much.
It was very interesting. I thought last night, well, I don't know if interesting is the right word, but I'll stick with it for now. Last night, one of the Sunday night roundup shows, the one that's done on Movistar, which is presented by Juanma Castaño, they talked about this and they clipped together comments of managers talking about referees and basically to say, look, they all do. Now, I thought it was quite disingenuous, to be honest, because the discussion was saying, you know, look, everyone's doing this, just stop it, it's got out of hand, it's too much, and I would basically agree with that discussion. The reason I say it's disingenuous is that was done by a programme that enjoys the controversy much more than the football most weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
That also projected the way that the managers were talking as if it was all the same, and it absolutely isn't, yeah, because some managers, yeah, were talking in conspiratorial terms and others were just saying, I'm not sure about that decision. You know, I saw someone this morning as well criticising Marcos Llorente after the Real Madrid game for saying, well, I'm not entirely sure about the rules because Atletico had a goal ruled out for offside, positional offside. Saul is standing in front of the goalkeeper, Lunin, but Lunin is inside his goal. And people said, well, you should know the rules. And to be fair to Marcos Llorente, he wasn't moaning. He was just saying, I haven't had a chance to see it yet. And I'm not sure if it changes anything that the goalie is off the pitch and inside his goal. And it was literally him just honestly saying, and I'm not complaining about anything, I just don't know what the rule is. And so it just feels like everybody's kind of waiting to basically fight their corner on this. And that's the other problem, of course, is it's always from your own corner. Yes. But for what it's worth, I do think over the last week or so, the discourse coming from Xavi has been pretty absurd.
Go on. Do feel free to elaborate on that.
Well, he said the other day, it's absolutely clear, even a blind man can see it. This has been happening since the start of the season. We're paying for the Negreira case. Now, I just this idea that it's set up against them. And this weekend, a weekend in which Real Madrid, all right, admittedly, I wouldn't call them big penalty shouts, but there's at least one for me is. I find it tiresome, to be honest.
Genuine,
and from everyone,
genuine,
by
it
the
is,
way.
But, it is. Which is, yeah, why we really do not dwell on these things too much.
But we just have.
We've just spent all this time telling you why we're not going to, well, why it's so tiresome, basically. So, yeah. But to be fair, you know, we're not sort of screaming at each other from deeply entrenched positions.
No, but we've used a lot of time to decry the fact that the media uses a lot of time to talk about referees.
Barca beating Alaves 3-1 at the Estadio Mendizorroza. I guess this was kind of a reaction from Barcelona.
I'm not so convinced. It was okay, but yeah. No, exactly. I'm glad that you're not convinced,
yeah,
because Xavi said post-game, look, we've seen the reaction now from the decision in the last two games.
I just don't agree. After the Osasuna game in midweek, and we spoke to him on La Liga TV, and we had him in English, and he did an interview with our reporter, and he was like, I'm really, really happy. I'm so happy. We played really well. You can definitely see the reaction. And I think everyone, I was just looking at everyone in the studio. We were just looking at each other like, what? Like, I know Xavi is a positive guy. He's a positive person. That's how he views things, and he's sort of upbeat in theory. But this was just bizarre. It was actually genuinely bizarre because that game against Osasuna, there was nothing there. Like, there was genuinely really, really nothing there. And this one against Alaves, minutely a bit better, but really not that great.
Yeah, there's things in this game that I think you can feel positive about, but I think there's two different things here, but they go hand in hand. One is whether or not you can be positive about it. And I think there are elements of this game that you can be positive about. That's fine. I'll take that bit. But the other is the idea that it's positive because of his announcement.
I mean, that's
going.
Definitely nonsense.
Exactly. I don't see this as being out of step with, because there's been games this year where there've been positive moments, and actually, Xavi has spent most of the season telling us they're playing well, and for a lot of the season, we've thought, I don't really see it. And so if you now say we're playing well and it's because I resigned, but then does that mean you weren't telling us the truth when you said you played well before? Now, I mean, maybe we're clutching at straws a bit here. Oh, sorry, that's not the right word. We're picking at him a bit too much here. Maybe we're being a little bit too kind of pedantic and nitpicky. But there were things in this game. I mean, for example, the Lewandowski goal.
Beautiful
and,
goal.
And actually,
what a
I would
finish.
Say, yeah. And it was the kind of goal that you this is the kind of goal you should have when you've got Pedri, Gundogan, Frenkie de Jong and Lewandowski on the pitch. And those four players were the players that combined. And that's the kind of goal that those kind of players should be able to produce. And it's a really, really lovely goal. I thought that the Vitor Roque goal was really nicely taken and pretty nicely constructed as well. And the goal that, Gundogan scored was also really nicely constructed and finished. And you go, that's really, really good. But my, I must confess, my feeling in the last, 15 minutes of the first half and maybe the first 15 minutes of the second half was that actually Barcelona looked really, really vulnerable. And they go 1-0 up and they go 2-0 up and then Alaves score immediately to make it 2-1. And to be perfectly honest, with everything that I've been watching for the 20 minutes around those goals, I thought Alaves are going to come at them here. Because it felt to me like every ball in the air they were winning, every loose ball they were getting to first. Now, Alaves at Mendizorroza, they're a reasonably good side. They'd picked up 9 points from nine, in other words, three wins in a row coming into this. This was a game where, I'll be honest with you, pre-game I thought Barca can lose this. This is a game that Barca can lose. So in that sense, yes, this is a good result. And yes, there were moments of the performance which were pretty good. Or, well, were okay. But I don't see this as some, you know, clear demonstration of a reaction at all.
I mean, it's not. But it is definitely a good result. Definitely a very good result for
it is,
for Barcelona.
It is. Yeah.
And they're 8 points off the top. Who knows if they win next week, which is highly possible, at home to Granada and Real Madrid and Girona take points off them. Well, cut the gap down to six. Who knows? It's not over yet.
It's not. And the main thing I think from Barcelona's point of view is that, you know, a few weeks ago we were thinking, wow, they might not even get a Champions League place. And certainly we were thinking they don't look like they're going to get second. Now, if Madrid were to beat Girona and Barcelona win next week, then I think Barcelona do start thinking, actually, you know what, second is within grasp.
Yeah, so they need Girona to do them a favour, take some points off them and draw. Let's see. We've spoken about them before on the podcast. I think we're going to have to continue to speak about them while they're in this kind of form. But Athletic Club, with that 4-0 thrashing of Mallorca on Friday night, and the Friday night game often gets overlooked a little bit, but what Athletic Club are doing this season really is extremely impressive. The goal scoring, the kind of, how can I put this? There seems to be almost a sort of constant momentum when they play at home. There's just this constant relentlessness about them, which is really fun to watch.
Yeah, really fun. And you know, it fits with the environment as well, the noise, because San Mamés is, you know, probably with Betis and maybe Atletico, the noisiest ground. And they're probably the noisiest free grounds in Spain at the moment, aren't they? And you know, there is a real joy to that. There is a kind of a breathlessness about it. Valverde was talking about this after the last Copa del Rey game.
Against Barcelona.
I think it must have been that game, because that's the last Athletic game I was at. So I think it must have been that game. And he was saying that, you know, actually the measurements that we have of our kind of physical, output, this is not that different to last year. But it's what really stands out. I suppose what's different now is they're being effective in front of goal. They're taking the chances that they weren't taking last year. There's a dynamism about them that's great to watch. As I say, partly there last year, but I think it's a little bit better. It's a little bit clearer. I think it's a little bit more incisive than it was last season. I think the move of position from Iñaki Williams plays a part in that. I think the performances of Sanset definitely play a part in that. You see the performance of all the way across the midfield actually is really, really good. Obviously in this game, Yuri Berchiche, but I wouldn't claim that he was the kind of the outstanding player this season, but of course he's important. And they are brilliant. I saw a statistic, I think I saw it this morning or last night, although this morning and last night have kind of segued into the same thing in my mind, that this is their best home form in 26 years, Athletic.
14 games unbeaten in all competitions since Real Madrid beat them on the opening weekend of the season. Haven't lost since in any competition. And they're looking very, very impressive indeed. Nice that the fourth goal, I like this. It was scored by Iker Muniain, assisted by Oscar de Marcos, two One Club men who have been there for 14 seasons. And Muniain isn't playing much this season at all, but he still seems as committed as ever to the cause, popping up for his first league goal of the season. Last season was the first season he didn't score a league goal, Iker Muniain.
Oh, I didn't know that. Right.
He scored his goal this season, and nice to see two veterans combining there for that goal. Sydney, in the Segunda División, are you fully aware what happened in the Segunda División?
Well, I'm aware in the sense that Oviedo are now back in the Oviedo position, which is two positions and 2 points away from the playoffs, having drawn 1-1. I don't know if you got the chance to see any of this, even if it's just the highlights or just the goals. Oviedo actually played pretty well.
I saw Santi Cazorla hit the bar.
Yeah, I tell you, if that had gone in. Full disclosure here, a member of my family did come into the living room to find out what had happened and what the noise was.
Right, and you just said Santi.
Yeah, I just said Santi's just almost done.
Anyway, so yeah, Oviedo drew 1-1 with Eldense. Elsewhere, leaders Leganés drew 0-0 with Valladolid. Espanyol beat Levante 2-1, thanks to a brace from the Segunda's top goal scorer, our former friend Martin Braithwaite.
Are we calling him former now? That's his doing, not ours. We're not denouncing him. He's just denouncing.
Well,
not denouncing. That's not the word. Renouncing.
We just lost touch. We lost touch. We grew apart. Yeah. You know, these things happen.
Drifted apart.
So Leganés are first, Eibar second, Racing Ferrol are third, Espanyol fourth, Valladolid fifth, and Elche are sixth. And as you said, Sydney, Oviedo are naturally 2 points off the playoffs. This week, we've got Copa del Rey semi-final first legs, which should be a lot of fun. Tuesday night, it's Mallorca against Real Sociedad. Then on Thursday, it's Atletico against Athletic, which...
Wednesday
Atletico night. It's Atletico against Athletic. Sorry. And obviously, Athletic Club have had 2 days extra to prepare that game compared to Atletico Madrid.
Which is why you thought it could be Thursday, because, of course, that's what Atletico asked for.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, I'm not going on this rant. Right, that's it. I'm just not doing it. I'm just not doing it.
Don't do it, Sid. We know how you feel about shit.
I'm not doing it.
We know.
Yeah.
We know. And we share your feelings as well. That's it for today's edition of the Spanish Football Podcast. If you want more Spanish football content of the highest quality, come and join us, patreon.com/TSFP. We're going to be podcasting over there for the rest of the week. Lots of good stuff coming up for you. So come and join us, €4 a month. And if you don't want to do that, we'll do another free podcast for you next Monday. Adios.
Cheerio.